Welcome to History in 6, a place where we sample history in 6-minute increments. I'm your host, Team Lindell. Today we're going to continue our discussion of John Winthrop. Time is short, let's jump into it. The last we saw John Winthrop, he had been deposed for exceeding his authority. Of course, a change of management does not necessarily mean that an improvement in government. 1634 to 1637 saw the colony rocked by a series of arguments over the rebellious and antinomian figures Roger Williams and Anne Hutchinson, figures who will play in future episodes of History in 6. But for now, the colonists thought good government was a mixture of three things: firmness of leadership, common sense, and fairness. The colonists believed Winthrop's successor lacked all three. They felt the colony had become too antinomian. Remembering from the last episode, the antinomians held that the only thing mattered was your faith. It mattered less what you did and more what you believed. As such, government should have little to do with people's lives. The Orthodox Christians, on the other hand, believed good works and exemplary behavior were necessary. They were an outward evidence of true faith and godliness. For them, belief was not enough. You actually had to do good deeds to find your way in God's graces. Thus, they believed government should enforce these good behaviors for the good of everybody. This battle between these two theories of government raged stronger in Massachusetts than anywhere else. The argument came to its head in the first contested election on American soil, May 17, 1637. The issue was primarily religious, but it also brought into question the role of government. On this day in Cambridge, the antinomians were trounced in the election. Winthrop was easily re-elected governor to continue his policy of imposing orthodoxy on the colony. Orthodoxy was not the only measure of a man's fitness to govern in these days. Authority was also based on the squirearchy of England. What this means is you need to have financial means, i.e. wealth, to be able to uphold your station in society. Well, in 1639, Winthrop discovered his English agent had cheated him, and his financial affairs were in, let's call them, disarray. The agent was convicted of fraud and sentenced to have his ears cut off. What a punishment. But that didn't help Winthrop, who found himself £2,600 in debt, which would be the equivalent of about $750,000, which is not a small sum by any means. He was forced to sell land on both sides of the Atlantic. In doing so, his financial plight became obvious to the other colonists. You know, his friends and allies, they raised £500 to help tie him over. But Winthrop's opponents, they began to point fingers, because the Puritans saw prosperity as God smiling on the individual, while if you floundered financially, you did not enjoy God's favor. As such, Winthrop, having found disfavor with God, was demoted to deputy governor in 1640. Winthrop found his way back into the governorship 2 years later when his fortunes took an upward turn. But he was bitter by how he was treated during his financial downturn. He became more severe with dissenters in the colony. One such individual was the unorthodox preacher named Samuel Gorton. Winthrop commanded him to either shut up or leave the colony. Gorton's congregation sent a letter to the Massachusetts government comparing Samuel to Christ and Winthrop to Pontius Pilate. It referred to Winthrop as the great and honored idol general and his supporters as a generation of vipers. Basically, he was accusing Winthrop of setting himself up as an idol, which idolatry in that time was very much frowned upon because you would have been setting yourself up as a false god. And his followers were obviously evil and wicked for worshiping him as an idol, a god. That's the name Viper, very religious symbolism for evil and wicked. This was pretty much a huge religious slap in the face to Winthrop. Winthrop was obviously enraged by these, what he would call, horrible and detestable blasphemies. Winthrop sent 40 soldiers to arrest and put Samuel in irons. That didn't stop Samuel from preaching. Winthrop then had to remove him from his prison and sent him out into the wilderness. Winthrop's high-handedness in dealing with Gorton led him to find disfavor among the colonists, and they once again demoted him to deputy governor in 1644. Afterwards, Winthrop wrote in his journal that he feared the rabble and actual democracy as the meanest and worst of all forms of government. Well, I'm guessing because they didn't allow him just to have his will. It's good to see that he was a humble man. Winthrop went on to publish a treatise defending his actions, saying that it is a wise magistrate who has no alternative but to stamp out a firebrand like Gorton before he set the whole house on fire. He believed that wise men should be given discretionary power to follow God's law as they saw it. Some of his fellow magistrates were obviously outraged by this view. They noted that if anyone else had made these statements, they would have lost their ears, if not their head. But Winthrop was a survivor, and once again he survived this controversy and won back public favor to regain the governorship in 1646, a position he held until his death 3 years later. If you have enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.